Hello, listeners. For several years now, since the dissemination of science began, publication models have evolved explicitly. Initially, with the literature available under paywall, delayed the growth in science. However, today, with the advent of open science and its new models, the publishing dynamics have become more accessible, transparent, and collaborative. While most of us are aware of one of the most discuss topics in the research publishing, open access, how much do we know about it at all? Recently, one of the most prestigious journals, Science, has announced that it will allow authors to make their almost final versions of manuscript public immediately on publication, and that too without paying any article processing charges, which again is a question of concern within the research community. Open access is gaining much reputation since the understanding of need for accessible knowledge and collaboration has dawned upon the research community. As an initiative for the International Open Access Week 2022, themed Open for Climate Justice, I, Shrutika Sirsilla, welcome you all on behalf of Inago Academy as we discuss the matters of openness as a default in research and how it could benefit the climate crisis, which is a looming threat to the planet. Professor Dr. Mirena Georgieva, a veteran molecular biologist, a zealous communicator of science, and a TEDx speaker. Professor Georgieva's scientific work is to discover the hidden mysteries of the human genome. She believes that knowing our genetics is a key to healthy and meaningful existence. Currently working as an associate professor of molecular biology at the Bulgarian Academy of Sciences, Professor Georgieva has authored more than 100 scientific and science popular articles in the field of molecular biology, genetics, and epigenetics. She's a member of the Society of Cancer Epigenetics, Union of Scientists in Bulgaria, FEBS Constituent Society, and has recently been appointed as an honorary member of the advisory board of M3 Communications Group. We are so delighted to have you here with us today, Professor Georgieva, to discuss open access and its potential impact on the research community and society at large.
Same here, by the way. I'm always happy to work with you and discuss important topics in the academic development, publishing, and dissemination of scientific data.
So in your opinion, how has open access ascended through the research community?
Well, it was not long ago when open access was not that well known and people were considering more than paywall and also a subscription to journals in order to have access to scientific papers. But in the modern world, when everything is open, when everything is going digital and we communicate science on a broad communities and levels, we need access. And data is something that is fundamental, not only for science, but also for society. And if scientific literature, scientific papers, articles, reports are not open access, people cannot benefit from it. Because our ultimate aim is what we do in the labs to be disseminated among people and help them in their fight against different diseases, in the development of different medicines and so on and so on. So I definitely support open access and I see that demand for access of my colleagues. Yet we are in some kind of a hybrid model where, yes, there are many open access journals nowadays, but some of them are very expensive. And it's also a very big question and a matter of debate among us scientists, because first, you apply for grants for funding your research. It's a tedious work. Then you produce your results. Then you disseminate these results by a paper or a report or a conference proceedings. And then you have to pay in order to be published open access. This is very, very unfair for our scientists. So this open access is something that is obligatory to be resolved in a way that the publishing groups are contented and we also as scientists. So the matter of discussion that you open here as a topic, open access, pros and cons, how in the modern world is something of great importance for us scientists. And that's why I'm really happy to be here and share my my perspective as a scientist who writes and tries to publish, also as an editor, as a reviewer, and a person that is definitely dealing with these matters of how to do it nowadays.
So we'd call open access as a two-edged sword.
Yes, it is a two-edged sword, and it needs a lot of discussions by different peers, by different people, scientists, editors, publishers, even community, and also influencers, because nowadays we also disseminate our science through different scientific influencers. And this is also very important, and it is a modern trend that should be taken into account, because the world is changing, and it is changing fast, even in the scientific communities as well.
True. And unlike a lot of researchers are still unaware of how to go about choosing open access publishing. So how would you encourage early career researchers to resort to open access publishing?
Yes, this is something that is debated a lot, because open access is not only open access. There are different types of open access, and we know this very well. We have a GOAT open access, which allows you to disseminate freely and use freely, but the others pay for this. Then you have green open access, then you can archive or just store for yourself and only for your friends. We have bronze gold open access, and all these different categories are making the process of among young researchers and their choice much more difficult, because no one in the university or in the early career scientific developments is discussing this. You have to become on a certain level of a position as a scientist, a principal investigator, to know how to do it. Even among my colleagues, there is yet doubts what to choose. So first, young early career researchers, our young colleagues, need to very well know the different types of open access, to read carefully all the rules, because sometimes they can publish under green open access and they can disseminate on different scientific platforms, and it can be a really big issue for their career after that, because immediately the journal can put a restriction and can even stop your research gate, for example, or sit account or whatever. It happened to some of my colleagues. They didn't know that it was green open access. It was disseminated, so they had some issues, which is not good, because you put a lot of efforts to publish and to produce these results, and then to discuss whether it's open or not, it's not open, is something that is taking your time senselessly without any reason. So first, to know the different categories of open access. Second, to see the journal, how the journal publishes, under what kind of open access, whether it is open access or it is a paywall or an idea of publishing. And then to discuss with older colleagues, with much more experienced colleagues, to understand how to do it. Because open access is something very important for your citation index after that. Because the more open is the paper, the more well disseminated, it's published even more rapidly, and it's disseminated among different communities, and you get more citations. And there are really good studies that show that since 2017, the amount of the percentage of open access journals jumped a lot. And this also increased the percentage of citations of the authors that have been publishing in this journal. So this is something very important, but it should be resolved very wisely. It should be allowed for the people to understand this open access, to know why it is an advantage for their work, and to know how to organize it, because it's not only a definition open access, it's a whole process to choose the journal, to understand what category of open access you would like to publish, and how you're going to resolve it. Do you have money in your project? Do you have something that is scheduled for paying this open access? Those are questions that should be put forward. They should be put even earlier than you start to write your paper. This is very important for young early career researchers.
That's an important aspect, I would say. A lot of researchers stress a lot on what to be written in a research paper, and they don't do a thorough research about which journal or which platform to publish their research article in. So that's a plus for all the researchers.
Luckily, there are platforms, even Enago has such a platform, which I myself use, where you can put your abstract and your title and you can get really good suggestions. And with these suggestions, you get the name of the journal, the open access, the type of open access, also the money that you should pay for open access publishing fee, and so on and so on. And this is very important for you to make this search, pre-publishing search, before you start to upload your paper somewhere. So this is very important, and I really rely on these platforms a lot in my personal work, and I disseminated this knowledge among my younger colleagues as well.
That's great. Dr. Milena, I would want to know what publishing model would you advocate researchers? Would it be a paywall model or an open access model? Earlier, you mentioned that it's a two-edged sword and we cannot completely rely or we cannot completely go into the open access domain considering the efforts and amount of time, effort, and hands put behind a research. So it's how would you suggest or what would you advocate to the researchers? What choice should they make?
As a researcher, I always go for open access, and because this is important for my citation index, for the dissemination of our work, because the more citations you have, it means a more prominent, more representative and also reproducible work, which is something very important. This is a characteristic of a scientific work that is of huge importance in it. So open access is really something that I go for. Of course, I look for the publishing fees, because this is also very important. It should be put in the budget before even you start to prepare your results for publishing. And you should know that you can count on this money. Or some research institutions have already arranged this with the additional money that are paid for publishing in open access. Because the more open, the opener is the science, the better for the society. And this is our ultimate goal. We don't do this to hide our results. We want these results to be reproduced. We want these results to be worked after that and also applied on different fields of practice. So open access is definitely something that I advocate, but I also raise concerns for the publications fees and also for arranging there's some kind of a misunderstanding, misconception that if the journal is golden open access and you pay for this, the quality of the papers is not good, which is something that should be very well discussed among the community. And when someone is following the reputation of the journal, he should definitely understand what the reputation of the journal means on different platforms for indexing of science. So this is something that it should be very well discussed broadly around, because yes, open access, yes, but this misconception that if it is open access, it's not a good quality because it's a fast track and the journal and the publishing groups just want to take your money is something that is not true, because I'm also paying my open access fees and I go through rounds and rounds of reviewing process and I have so many changes in the paper until we get published in the open access. But this is something not well understood. And even in some countries, some of the journals of different publishing groups, which are open access, golden open access, are not well accepted, as a matter of fact. And people still go to the standard way of journals, those, let's call them aristocratic scientific journals, when there are so many, and I really respect them, but they should also open to the society and to the society of scientists, because they should be open access. Especially nowadays, when we are everywhere, our data is everywhere, and it's important for managing and working with this data, especially in science, is something that, okay, I try to cite a paper, I'm finding a very interesting abstract, I definitely want to read this paper, and then all of a sudden I have to pay hundreds of dollars in order to get access. This is something that immediately relocate me to another paper, especially nowadays when we have huge amount of scientific literature research. So definitely open access, but a well-discussed open access among publishing groups, and also very well understood open access among researchers and people that publish their papers. This is something, 3 points which should be very well defined in our modern world of scientific research.
That's great. what I gather from this information is for researchers, it's a plus to be publishing in an open access journal, but
definitely
don't go through it blindly. Know all the different types of open access publishing and know what kind of processing charges are there. Know how well the paper is reviewed even through the open access platform, and then go ahead with it.
Definitely. Those are the 4 or 5 points which are very important. Just try to find the balance between the journal reputation, its open access possibilities, and also the fee that you pay.
Right. Dr. Milana, I wanted to know, what are your views on STM Trends forecast for 2026 and the theme, The Beauty of Open at Scale? They have created a pretty infographic, I must say, and it was very impressive.
Yes, I saw it and I was really impressed because it disseminates the problem that we have in the publishing and scientific communities nowadays, with all this so many scientists like bees that are going around trying to find the journal. Then we have the editors, then we have the peers, the reviewers, and so on and so on. The whole process, the whole evolution of a beehive, as it is really well illustrated. Yes, as a matter of fact, if you are at the beginning as the bees, you feel very much messy what to do. And I experienced this with my colleagues. I even experienced this with myself a couple of years ago before I started to be a reviewer, to be on the other side, before I started to be an editor of special issues, to see how difficult it is to be an editor, to find the right reviewer, to accommodate the authors, and also to provide a high quality research. Those are issues that at the beginning, at the bees flying around and all this sound of everywhere, something that is in our heads all the time. So STM goals for 2026 is something that we should definitely pursue, that we should definitely try to reorder and order wisely this beehive, the whole process of formulating one really meaningful beehive as a publishing group, where journals should allow open access and also high quality papers to be published and disseminated freely. And this is a long process, but it's not impossible from my point of view as a scientist and also as an editor and reviewer, because it's really good to be on the other side, on the two sides of the river, just to see the process from different perspectives. This helps a lot when you start to write and when you start to choose which journal to pick up for your work. And then when you start to review a paper or to set up a special issue as an editor, you know how to deal with this. So I really appreciate these STM goals and I definitely go for them. And initiatives like you, what you do in Anago, also is something very, very much appreciated among colleagues, which for quite a brief moment, you get the most important insights that you need in order to be okay, in order to feel comfortable when you start to prepare your paper to be published. And this is knowledge, as a matter of fact. This is another science. This is the supportive science of our science after that, which is very important to have this kind of discussions. And also would be nice to have different scientists to see different perspectives and to make this question and answers and whatever. It's important.
Yes, we all try to do our bit in the research field.
Yes, you do well.
What we already discussed regarding article processing charges and how it is negatively streaked in the open access publishing. What are your thoughts on APCs for publishing in an open access journal, and why are they viewed in a negative light, or should they be or should they not be? What are your views regarding that?
Well, the fees for publishing in a journal, open access or gold open access or green open access, are very high. Recently, they increased the rate a lot. and you are supposed to pay thousands of dollars in order to publish, which is a huge amount of money for scientists, because those are money for research. They are not for disseminating your results. This is something that is accepted as a negative point of view for the APS of the journals, because this is expensive. Okay, some people say the more expensive, the higher quality, but it's not exactly the same, because there are so many colleagues around the world that do not have money for APS, but they do produce high quality research, and they also need the dissemination of their results. And if it is too expensive, and only certain countries are able to publish this following these APS fees, then it's not fair. This is not the fair scientific world that I would like to live in as a scientist. That's why they are perceived negatively. I understand that the journal needs the money to sustain the whole process, but yet I understand that those money are huge, because we as editors and reviewers, we work pro bono. We are not paid. Okay, so when I'm a reviewer, I'm not paid for this. On my goodwill, pro bono, I'm reviewing the papers of my colleagues. And it is a tedious work, because I'm responsible for this. And for this, I'm not paid. But then I have to pay in order to publish my paper. This is something that I perceive as a negative point for the APS. And definitely it should be considered to be reduced and to be unified. This is very important, because the process of publishing in a certain publishing group in comparison to the other are very close as rates. So there is no need to have these jumps of hundreds of dollars in order to publish in journal A or in journal B. This is something what I consider as a negative point.
Also, since we are on this topic about negative points, are there any misconceptions regarding open access publishing which you would like to bring light to for young career researchers?
Yes, there are many, many journals nowadays, because they started to bloom like spring blossoms. I don't know why. Okay, I have my suggestions, but it's not the time to discuss it. But okay, they bloom, and people are often approached by invitation letters with some offers which are really tempting. So the early career researchers should know the reputation of the journal. This is very important. And to see what other colleagues have already published there, to understand the quality of the work, and then take a decision whether they will run for a lower or higher APS regard to the reputation and the quality of the journal. This is something that should be taken into account very well before you start to pursue an invitation letter by a journal. You should see the quality of the papers. You should see the topics. You should choose for your paper to be in the journal that is most suitable for your field of research, in order to have citations, in order to have other authors reproduce your results.
Also, do you think open access will ever become a default choice in publishing research? Will it ever reach up to that stage?
I think we are rapidly moving to this, because if we speak about 10 years ago, very few journals allowed open access, and it was highly paid. Nowadays, we have so many journals for a decade, so many journals that are open access. We have a jump in citations, which is very important. So people will definitely choose open access, and this will be default. How it will be organized by the publishing groups is a matter of another debate, but they should think in this perspective, because nowadays, with the openness of the world, with this digital way of communication and dissemination of results, we don't go for hard copy journals anymore, as you know, at least not as often as before. Yes, so people read on their tablets, on their phones, on their laptops. They very rarely, and even from an environmental point of view, they don't use hard copy. So the world is opening very broadly, and publishing groups should open very broadly to the open access, and it should be default. It should be default. Everyone scientist should be able to have access, and not to run for, because you cannot be subscribed for all the journals. You don't have the money to do this. So you either ask a colleague that is subscribed or look in the internet. It's a tedious, huge process of looking for a paper. But okay, there are so many other papers on the relative topic, on the same topic. So you definitely jump on the other one that is open access.
Right.
Most colleagues do this, believe me. So if you are not a default open access, you lose your audience. This is the important message.
So in the light of the open access week theme, what do you think, owing to the open access publishing, will it make a difference in the environmental and climatic research? Can we bridge the gap between knowledge dissemination so that whatever climate crisis is around, we could reach it faster in a much effective way? Can using open access platform help us reach out to the climate crisis?
Not only climate crisis, with all huge topics nowadays, climate change, pandemics, as we already saw, so many big difficulties. All the papers that have been published with the keywords COVID, COVID-19, pandemics, and so on, they were open access, and not because it was modern, because it was essential to see the colleague in Singapore, for example, what he is doing in order to reproduce and use this data. So definitely it will solve many problems with the so-called hidden pandemics also, the obesity rates, the neurodegeneration, the cardiovascular diseases, all these conditions that kill more than 71% of all people in the planet. And if you have access to all this data published by peers and specialists in these fields, you are much more supposed to understand faster, more easy, and in a more comprehensible way what is already published in order to continue and reproduce these results after that. So yes, open access will open the horizons not only for solving the climate change issues, but also the problems with oncological diseases, metabolic diseases, neurodegenerations, those question marks in our modern world that are very important nowadays for the well-being of the whole world population. So yes, we are very much interconnected. Science is everywhere. It's in the core of our lives, and it implies on everything that we do in our daily life. Everything is science. And this is also what I communicate among all the people. Science is everywhere. Everything that is created, even the pen that you use or the marker, it's already passed through the labs and has been disseminated to the people. The more open, the more easy to be accessed, the better for our human lives.
That's very well put. The more open, the more easy to access.
Yes.
For human life. That's great. Thank you so much.
I also thank you,
Lena. Yes, for providing us with this prompt and insightful responses. I'm sure this has got our researchers' wheels turning, and we hope that the open access approach is leveraged to its fullest potential for the benefit of mankind and, of course, the ecosystem at large.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to work with you.
I would also like to thank all our listeners who have patiently stayed with us till the end. Hope this session has given you a lot of insights on open access publishing. Please do write to us or email us your queries and doubts regarding any aspect of the session on enago.com. And subscribe now to get more insightful resources from us. Until next time.